Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The Joint Industry Forum is typically the first big conference of the year for the property casualty insurance industry. This year, like so many events during the quarantine, it went virtual. Joining us now is Sean Kavalian, CEO of the Insurance Information Institute, to tell us about the conference. Hi, Sean. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Hey, Meg. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. So how did the virtual Joint Industry Forum go?
Well, I think in large part, like we've seen with the rest of the industry, insurance industry just stepping up and adapting, we did that too with the Joint Industry Forum. And this new norm, which you and I are in right now, of virtual interviews and discussions, that's what we did. We brought together leaders of our time, which the Joint Industry Forum has been doing for 30 years as that first, as you mentioned, kind of key industry event of the year. Set the agenda, have good discussions, understand some what I'll call marching orders that we need to address and inform as the Insurance Information Institute, as insurance companies, and as other trade associations as well. It was a great demonstration of collaboration, good discussions, good issues, new issues we brought in. So all around a nice event.
What was the big takeaway this year?
I think more than ever, we've demonstrated, we've always talked about insurance and how it leads through disruption. And I think in 2020, the industry did that in so many remarkable ways. And so part of the forum was a way to in some ways really celebrate how much the industry was able to step up, whether it was having financial relief measures for its customers, whether it was giving over $14 billion back in auto premiums, keeping people employed, and in fact, our industry now in all areas is hiring. So at a time when we saw remarkable unemployment levels, this industry was maintaining it and even increasing it. And then communities and making sure that, like we did with the Joint Industry Forum, the industry adapted to its customers, made sure that it could continue to keep those customers as they were having natural catastrophes, man-made catastrophes, that the claims were being paid in a timely manner, that there was new technologies developed. And so a lot of good illustrations of just how much the industry can lead through disruption. But the year also wasn't without really some challenges. And I think the challenges primarily we saw what began in really late spring and through the summer around business insurance and business interruption policies in particular. You know, right now, we don't have a federal financial relief system in place that's systematic and helps make sure that people are getting the financial relief they need fast and effectively. And because of that, politics set in, and rightfully so, customers were worried about their well-being. And unfortunately, what challenge stepped up is, in typical fashion, the plaintiff attorneys kind of dusted off their old playbooks, began to try and sell a sense of false hope that litigation was a way for customers to get the relief that they were needing. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. Here in the U.S., business insurance policies in particular are written very strictly, in large part, to identify that direct physical damage is what's required to kick those claims in. And that just doesn't happen with the virus. But as I mentioned, there was some misinterpretations being thrown out there that we really needed to inform. Because honestly, if we were activated to retroactively pay insurance contracts at something that was never underwritten for, we were in a place of financial instability. You know, we have $800 billion in our policy surplus that can go away in a matter of months if you write contracts in the wrong way. So, and it's purely unconstitutional. So a lot of challenges. I think we at the III and we talked about in our one panel discussion with other trade CEOs how much collaboration happened this year within the industry to make sure that we were informing discussions like this business interruption challenge in the right way to make sure that policyholders understood that their constituents could suffer greatly if we were just going to fall to the litigation and those types of trial attorney attempts that were trying to infringe on the economic well-being of the industry. So we're in a better place than I think we were in early spring in terms of people understanding that issue, but there's certainly going to be challenges that we see left over as a result of COVID-19. We're still in an uncertain area and time. And so as much as economically, the industry was also able to get through this year in positive form. I think we're all keeping a very close eye on what happens with this virus and how we need to make sure that this economy continues to grow. Forecasts show that we will be growing, which is good news. We just need to make sure that we're paying close attention to how this vaccine kicks in and how we can get that economy back up and running in the long term.
So if I could ask you about the III, you've had a change in ownership recently. Now you're part of the Institutes. Does that change anything?
Well, first and foremost, the name and even the legal entity of the III will remain the same. The team, in large part, remains the same. In fact, we actually, as part of the affiliation, have now folded management, at least, of the Insurance Research Council and the Griffith Foundation into III, with us all being part of the larger enterprise of the Institutes. And I think we've really seen a lot of positive integration in this. We're looking right now at ways to develop more better digital platforms that, in terms of how we communicate and be more efficient with that. We're known greatly as a communications brand, so the Institutes will be helping us in large part enhance our digital capabilities, which they've gone through in recent years, and we can learn from that and again be more effective, even more effective communications group, but also ways that we can provide more value in terms of data-driven insights to the industry, something that we have long been known for and we're beginning to evolve even now. Recently as today, we've put on our third, what's a first ever economic forecasting presentation that we do in conjunction with Milliman. And it's really a great way to make sure that we're keeping an eye on the next 2 years of industry trends and making sure that the industry can stay informed in terms of economics and underwriting trends. So a lot of good work is gone into it. Even the Joint Industry Forum, because a CLM is an affiliate of the Institutes, we were able to leverage their great professional events management folks, and they were able to help us put on the event in a very seamless and positive manner. So a lot of good is coming in. I would expect a lot more. We've been setting strategy together, setting up some combined tactics. I think we've got a really good way to leverage our good communications work for the Institutes and some of the great stuff that they're doing to foster careers in insurance, for example. In this large part where we're seeing economy with people needing to look at their careers, potentially change careers, how can we leverage what the Institutes does with its certification processes that we might be able to get that focus more on people shifting a career into an insurance, which we absolutely need with, you know, nearly 500,000 jobs to be filled in coming years here.
And what's your outlook for the insurance industry for 2021?
I think 2021, largely for the III, will fall into three categories. We're going to have another campaign that's forged out of what we established in 2020, the future of insurance and reinsurance are fair. This was an aggressive platform that we used on the business interruption issue in particular to inform it through digitally based advertising. We put together a microsite. We did some new communications tactics. So we want to look and take all of those learnings from FAIR, which was largely successful, and begin to look at other industry priorities that we discussed in particular at the Joint Industry Forum, fairness and equality being one. Also careers in insurance, ethical innovation, communicating about how these innovative tools that insurance is using are bettering society. And then also combating social inflation, which continues to be something we're watching real time with the litigation attempts right now on business interruption, and is only getting worse. And so we will take all of those issues and put them into what we're now just calling internally FAIR 2.0 and begin to develop a campaign to inform those discussions about insurance and how insurance is for good. The other key issue for the III in 2021 will be around climate and going forward with our Resilience Accelerator work, which is really a hub-based, web-based initiative where we have several partners, the likes of FEMA, being one of them, and some insurtech companies, where we're bringing insights and innovation and tools so that people can hopefully change their behavior and start thinking about risks more. This will, one, and should bring them to insurance, but also illustrate how insurance is well poised to help fight the risks associated with climate and present solutions to communities and societies. And so we're excited about the foundation that we've built with our Resilience Accelerator work, and we're gonna further that on, and I think you'll see some new and exciting tools that'll be very consumer engaging, but informative for the industry as well, because we've got a great story to tell about, again, how we can lead through this climate disruption and provide solutions to the community. So those are the big issues that we're looking at in 2021. And of course, we'll continue to manage and inform discussions around natural and man-made catastrophes throughout, whether it's auto or cyber. Those types of trends we will continue to look at. And we've still got a little ways to go, or a long ways, depending on how you look at it litigation-wise with the business interruption issue, and we need to keep an eye on making sure we're informing that well.
If I could follow up on the climate change issue, it seems like insurers are paying more attention to their investments in terms of ESG. Could you comment on that, what you're seeing there?
Well, as we know, as an industry, investments are a key part of the insurance business. In fact, most of the revenue of insurers does come from investments. It's a great tool as well at how we build communities. And I think you are beginning to see companies proactively look at their portfolios and see whether or not there are ways that they can address the issue through their investments. But you're also seeing companies find ways to, again, help their customers with the risks that are increasing, too, beyond just our own investments. And so I think that's a really important inflection point that we're at with the industry, where we're seeing it really going from a detect and repair type of focused industry to prevent, to predicting and preventing catastrophes. And so investments are one part of that, and one part of the way that they're in the solution, also just being part of key dialogues around this. Certainly, we're seeing with the new administration coming into Washington that climate is a part of virtually every part of that administration. So being part of those discussions, making sure people understand, again, how insurance can be a solutions provider, making sure that people understand what risk-based pricing is and why it matters so much. So a lot for us to do in the climate area, even above and beyond just investments.
Sean, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much. Good to see you again, Meg.
We've been speaking to Sean Kavalian, CEO of the Insurance Information Institute. For AM Best TV, I'm Meg Green.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.